Hi, it's Paul Banas with GreatDad.com, and I'm here with my weekly series of talking to dads about fatherhood today. And I've got a guest today that I think will help us maybe understand a little bit about education today, and has a project that I want him to tell about. But I want to welcome James Finland.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so James, you're an educator. You've been educating and coaching kids for 20 years, so you bring a bulk of experience to this. And first of all, let's talk about the project that you've been working on. You're a teacher, and then you've been working on school apps today. Well, tell us a little bit about what that challenge is and what you're trying to address with school apps today.
My experience as a teacher showed me that there's a lot of children struggling in the traditional educational system. And I found my gift is helping them to see the opportunities they have every day. They might not identify with algebra or understand how that applies to their life,
right?
But I can help them to see that improving time management skills, communication skills, strengthening that muscle of self-discipline, just do it. Even when you don't feel like it, when they see it through that lens, it gives them a better understanding of how it applies to anything that they want to do in life. If you want to be a professional, successful YouTuber and sustain that success, then you got to be organized. You've got to be well-managed, and you've got to have self-discipline. You have to do the hard work even when you don't feel like it. So my journey in technology with School Apps Today and the Gap app is trying to provide a framework for parents and their children. Parents first, because before anything, it's about modeling. Mm-hmm. I firmly believe that the most effective form of teaching is modeling. And once a parent steps into that role and picks a few key points to, first of all, communicate by example, and then that opens the door to a better conversation with your child and getting them to not only see what you want them to do, but open their ears to really listen because they see you working at that as well.
So are you developing, do you develop programs for schools to use or a framework for parents to use or a combination of the two?
My journey over the past 10 years has been positioned more for schools.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a rewarding project to an extent. You know, in today's world, schools have social media that they use. They have Blackboard, PowerSchool. And so we were building these apps alongside of those, and they were primarily communication-based. Parents could log in, check their child's grades. However, I'm more interested in creating tools that help really move the needle for individuals. To me, as an educator, taking that methodology I learned, writing lesson plans and objectives and executing with students and helping them better their lives, I wanted to try to bring that to technology. And technology is really something that can help expedite, you know, those benefits, give you an efficient system to make sure you stay focused on the right things. And alongside that, I think that I like to encourage not only dads, but families and children to try to take a break from social media, take a break from these different apps that are so easy to give your attention to. And if I'm going to say that, I want to have an alternative. You know, if you're going to break a bad habit, let's replace it with a good habit. So we're going to leverage technology in that way, give them something to fill the gap, to plug the hole.
Okay. So that's the idea between the upcoming Gap app that's coming out. Is that coming out this year?
Yeah. So I really want my audience to participate in that process with me. So by joining that email list, you'll basically be coming along for the ride and you'll be a big part of the journey. I would like to get feedback along the way. I would like to test things. And I've tested a lot of these tools throughout my journey as an educator and coach. However, you know, moving forward, I want to engage an audience in this process. So I'm not putting a deadline on it. Paul, I really just want to it to be a team project, something that really moves the needle for dads, families, and children.
Can you give us a teaser of a tool or two that's within that you'd consider in the app to kind of fill the gap?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the concept of accountability partnerships is so powerful. Mm-hmm. And that could look like a father and son, you know, once a week, carving out some time to just share your wildly important goal. What is the one thing you're trying to do personally or professionally? And go ahead and write it down, verbalize it. Now, how did it go last week? What are you going to change the upcoming week? Just going through that process helps you to, I like to say, set your GPS. When you verbalize your goal and you repeat it, you memorize it, now you start picking up opportunities throughout the week. You start to recognize more opportunities to help that goal become a reality. It's really an unconscious process. You've probably heard the law of attraction, you know, very fancy sounding stuff, but really it's committing to a goal in your mind and certainly verbalizing it, repeating it, thinking about how it's going, how you can make adjustments. This really helps you to pick up things that can help you and certainly identify people that can help you as mentors and people you can create some win situations with along the way. So this accountability partnership, just that one thing has multiple benefits.
Yeah, I love that idea. I mean, I think you can really do that at different levels for different ages of the kids. It doesn't have to be like an adult kind of accountability partner. It can be something really small. Like for us, it was no phones at the table. So that was a kind of a thing that we started. We try to eat together at least once a day. We created this rule, no phones at the table. And the kids would call us on it, you know, call mommy and daddy on it as often, or far more often actually than we'll call them on it. And they're 19 and 23 now. And even last night we were having dinner and there was, you know, at least one time somebody said, turn that phone over. So, I mean, I think that's great. And kids really respond well to that shared responsibility, knowing that mommy and daddy are fallible in some certain human way and that, you know, they can actually parent mommy and daddy from time to time.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you. And just that humility, being humble.
Humility. Yeah, I love that word. Yeah.
We all make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. But let's really make an effort to improve and let's do it together.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that with my 23-year-old daughter. I try to do 100 push-ups every 2 days. So, you know, whether she responds or not, I always text her when I get my push-ups done. And I know that if I miss a day, you know, maybe she won't even notice at all. But in the back of my mind is, you know, is she waiting for my, you know, for me to tell her that I'm still on the push-up wagon?
Yes.
It keeps me going.
It's a great thing to engage in because it's so positive and it highlights the struggles and it highlights the victories. And it's really a balance. You know, a good teacher, a good coach, I learned and I feel is 50% encouragement and love and 50% discipline and, you know, constructive criticism. So there's got to be that balance. And an accountability partnership provides that opportunity for both.
Yeah, and that kind of fits into your philosophy of, or I guess your distinction, or maybe the comparison or integration of team and family, right? I know you talk about that, and I think that's a really interesting framing of the family dynamic.
Yeah, that's the life game. You know, it occurred to me throughout my career, how similar the two are. You have to be able to work with people, and working with people, we're interdependent on each other for our success in this world and five guys on the basketball floor. It's the number one thing. Can you listen effectively when somebody else is telling you something? Or are you just trying to formulate your response? Are you really listening to understand? Are you communicating? Are you sharing? Are you, there's so many things that go hand in hand between the two. So I think it's a great teaching tool for anybody who's been involved in sports or understands sports. It's a great way to illustrate the concepts that are so important.
Do you think that it helps men to understand fatherhood in a different way by putting it into the context? Because I think quite often guys and just family, women in general too, get confused over what they think is the way to parent. Like quite often it's like a top-down management structure. You know, I'm the king and I've got my queen next to me and we're going to tell you little peons what to do every day. And that's, I mean, that, not only is it old-fashioned, but it doesn't really work. And your team concept kind of changes that whole dynamic. But do you think that there are still a lot of men who are looking at it that kind of that old fashioned way, and this helps them visualize it in a different way?
Yeah, certainly. I think so. I think the characteristics of, I like to use Michael Jordan as an example, because especially a lot of us dads are familiar with him. But for him to win those six championships and have that success, he had to go through a lot of failure and a lot of pain to get there. You know, for 7 years, the Detroit Pistons would knock him to the ground every time he came into the paint. So for him to have that success, he had to go through a lot of pain, a lot of failure, and that's what drove him to be that six-time champion. So looking at it that way, we can see how valuable failure is. If we look at it the right way, let your struggle become your strength. So there's a very clear illustration with Michael Jordan. And, you know, he was always leading by example, especially at practice. Some of his teammates would say, he worked so hard at practice, if you didn't match his energy, you didn't feel like you should be there. Yep. So he set a standard by his modeling, the example he set. There's a tremendous lesson there. And the third thing I'll say about Michael Jordan and how sports and teams help us illustrate important lessons for life is Jordan was very well versed in the fundamentals. You know, he wasn't just out there, you know, making things happen. He was very fundamental and very technical. So I think, you know, that relates to character. You know, we want to strive for high character,
right?
Because regardless of the situation we're in, much like on the basketball floor, no matter who the opponent is or who our teammates are, those fundamentals translate into success.
Right.
And at the end of the day, if you're not honest or you're not trustworthy, it doesn't result in a good outcome in life. And it's the same on the basketball floor, as both character and fundamentals go to the game of basketball.
Yeah, I see this a lot in my coaching clients who are trying to be more intentional fathers. That's usually why they're interested in talking about coaching for fatherhood, just to start out with, is they realize, you know, sometime when their kids are little, that the kids are starting to kind of parrot their, you know, if they're on the phone all the time, the kid says, you know, I want a phone at age three, even if it's a fake phone. You know, they want to do what mommy and daddy do, and they start to imitate you. And to your point, if you're showing them untrustworthiness or whatever, that's what they will imitate, and that's what they'll find comfortable. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
So, are there other skills in terms of the athletic coaching that you use to motivate either your son or the kids you were teaching?
One thing I found is when you're trying to give some constructive criticism, try to look for some affirmation first. Try to recognize something good because that will then open up the ears of the young person, and then they will be more receptive to the criticism. So it goes back to that balance.
Yeah.
I think kids want to be held to a higher standard. A lot of parents might have the impression, or even as a young coach, you try to be maybe too much of a friend, or you try to be too cool, rather than set a high standard and really drive home the discipline. That was what I learned over my years, is kids want to be held to a high standard. They want discipline. They won't just outrightly tell you that. They'll fight it, but they'll thank you for it. Right. You know, I really believe that kids want to be held to a high standard, and they want discipline. And the big battle that we have to fight nowadays is for their attention, because smartphones and these apps are very sophisticated at capturing our attention, and that is a real battle. So you got to have that conversation, and you have to help the child understand why it's so important for us to direct some attention to these other things, because this is really a recent alarming challenge. I believe that is significantly influencing the direction of a lot of lives. So steal back some of that attention, make sure we're directing it to some things to instill character, you know, overall wellness, exercise, relationships, face-to-face, and certainly you can start with the family and prioritize that. But that would be what I would say there, Paul.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is really very good information. I love that framing of team versus family, because I think it can really work in a lot of ways. If you think of yourself as a unit, all working together, different roles, you know, developing different skills. I mean, us as parents, developing skills as parents. And if we can take some of the tips you've talked about with interpersonal communication, I love what they call it on Ted Lasso, the compliment sandwich, saying something nice at the before and something nice after, and maybe something in the middle. That works for kids and for partners and spouses. So that's really good advice. At the end of these, I always like to ask three questions and see if you could help me out here. First of all, do you have any just general advice? Maybe we've covered some of these topics already, but general advice for dads with young kids?
Just treat them like they're capable of becoming. So identify that gift, identify that talent, and try to talk about it. Plant that seed, because they may not be getting that in school. They may just be getting too much of the standardized testing, too much of the situation where you have one teacher and 40 kids. You know, so they need to hear that affirmation. Treat them like they're capable. Find that gift, wow. Find that talent, plant that seed. I would say that's so important. And it's easy to see the mistakes, but look to recognize the good things along the way.
That I love that phrase, capable of becoming. And if you can try to find that in your child, whatever they're doing, sports or music or algebra or whatever, and make them feel like they, you know, they're not, that whole idea like you're a genius already and why bother if you're not, you know, the A plus student in the class. But I love that you're capable of becoming. That's a sweet way of putting it. And I think we could use a lot of that in all of our personal relationships. People love to be believed in.
Yeah, I would add this. In the traditional educational system, I do believe that most students, most children, and I believe this as well in the 90s when I was coming up, we're not built to sit in a desk for 6 hours, 7 hours a day. It's not bringing out the best in a lot of kids. So when we see these behavior problems or we see these other issues develop, a lot of it is energy that's not being directed in a positive way. They're not having the opportunity to burn off some steam, burn off some stress at school, physical education. These are fundamentals, just daily exercise. It doesn't have to be sport, just an opportunity to relieve stress by getting some energy out. So try to encourage your child, if they're not being successful in school, say, hey, listen, maybe you just don't do well sitting most of the day. I need you to really try to develop your time management, to ask questions in class, try to develop that self-discipline, but encourage them. Once you get out into the real world and you work with your hands and you're up moving around, you're probably really going to shine. You know, I think it's easy for kids to feel defeated or to feel like they're not cut out for it because they're in a system that doesn't work for them. Yeah. And I think that's the case with most kids in the traditional system.
Yeah, good. Then the other question is, do you have a suggested mantra that would help dads, you know, get through the day or get through the frustration or maybe remember some of the things that we've been talking about?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I would say just remember the Surgeon General, just in 2023, this year, said we're in an epidemic of loneliness and isolation. Mm-hmm. He said we are in an epidemic. And if we don't address it, then we'll continue to splinter and divide until we can't stand as a nation. Everything we've talked about and the encouragement and the modeling and the technology that we need to scale back, all these things factor into a big picture for your child down the road. And you want them to have these skills. You want them to have this philosophy and develop this approach because the outcome could be loneliness and isolation, as it is for so many people. We need deeper connections, not just superficial, scratch the surface, but deeper connections. So start to develop that. Make sure that you have somebody to count on and your child has somebody with you, and start there. So I think that's really important. It is an epidemic, and I see it in schools, mental health. These things are lurking, and let's be proactive.
Yeah. Well, maybe it is as simple as just keeping that word connection. Like when you're with your kids, thinking like, how can I connect? Whether that's with a baby or with a, you know, 12-year-old son, is rather than passively going through and seeing what will this interaction bring, how will I react? How, you know, will I go crazy or will I, you know, walk out of the room or whatever, but think, be striving toward that connection. What questions can I ask? What affirmations can I find? What is my child capable of becoming? How can I foster that? The sweet message.
And it takes us intentionally setting aside some time to think through.
Yeah.
Let's plan to be successful with that. Let's be intentional about those questions. I love what you said about asking questions, because with questions, we can really plant seeds and get children to think on a little bit higher level and think a little bit better. And they'll start to figure out those answers if we lead them with questions.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And then finally, is there a challenge that you could give dads for the upcoming week, something that they could think about every day or something that they could shoot for during the week to have a better relationship with their family and with the kids?
So I would say, and I need to do a better job of this myself, but
we all do.
Yes. I would say, you know, pray about it, you know, uh-huh. Pray about it and be intentional with your prayer. In terms of, you know, I like a goal. I want to have a better relationship with my child or my family. I know I need to do a better job of this, and just repeat it. It's just the same concept we discussed with goals. And then there's a lot more to it, but it's that simple concept of take time, be intentional about planning and identifying those things we want to get better at. And, you know, certainly with faith, there's a lot more that factors in. and a lot more potential. So I would just say, whatever your faith is, be intentional and pray and do that. Make time for it every day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For some it's prayer, for some it's meditation.
That's right.
Is a really important thing. Certainly in coaching, we really believe in taking that time to really focus on a problem. Well, James, it's really been a lot of real wisdom in a lot of things that we've discussed today. And I really appreciate you taking time to spend with me this morning. People can find you at thegapapp.com. And of course, we'll put that in the show notes so you don't have to write it down while you're driving. So I really appreciate you coming on today. I'm Paul Banas with greatdad.com. I have a course on gratitude that I offer 50% off for listeners. If you want to go to greatdad.com/gratitude and put in podcast 50, you can get 50% off of that. I think gratitude is also a really big picture of this, and it certainly can't do any harm to be more grateful for the dog barking outside or the blue sky, all the rest of it that we've been given on this great earth. And it's a great way to stay intentional and focused. Okay, James. Well, have a great, wonderful weekend and have a happy new year.
Same to you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.